our Bible reading this morning. Steve, thank you.
I'm sorry, I haven't. Oh, here we go. The reading comes from Mark 7, 24 to 30. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." And then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out, and her daughter lying on the bed. May God bless to us the reading from his word. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word to us. How precious your word is. And Father, we thank you that we recognize that in your word, you reveal to us your purposes for us as individuals and as a church. And Father, in this world of strife and complications when so much seems to be going on, Father, we need to recognize again before you that you are the sovereign Lord. You are in control. And Father, we want to commit our lives to you. We pray that as we spend this time now considering your word and this story, that you will bless Pastor Matt as he speaks to us. And Father, that you will challenge us and help us to draw closer to yourself. Father, may we go from this place recognizing that it has been good to be together, but more than that, good to hear your voice and for you to give us instructions in how to live and how to behave. So, Father, we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Frank, for leading us this morning. Before I start, I feel like I should share briefly on the regional hui that both Barbara and I went to. It was not last Thursday, but the Thursday before until Saturday. So it was three full days. The theme of the hui was beyond the pairangi, beyond the horizon. What is God doing that we can be part of as his church to position ourselves for what is to come next? And to lift our eyes above the here and now to think about what is coming up. And so that was the theme for this hui. And it was also about encouraging one another in our churches. I don't know if you know it, but a lot of churches are struggling. A lot of Baptist churches. And there isn't a lot of hope. Now, we know a living hope. His name is Jesus Christ. But when we look at the circumstances, when we look at the lack of young adults, when we look at the lack of numbers of people that are, sorry, the increase in numbers of people who are leaving churches, it's a real problem. It's a real issue. And our denomination is in decline. We are losing the battle. Now, Christ is the hope of this world, and he's the hope of the local church. And I believe it's in the local church where we get to see the
the full expression of Jesus Christ through each other, the body. So what I'm saying is there are issues in the Baptist Church, and we need to be praying. We're selecting a new national leader to lead us from the front. Our current national leader is struggling. There are things that are wrong in this denomination, and there are things that need to come to the light as well. So it's not all doom and gloom, don't get me wrong. There are some good stories out there, and there's God is on the throne and he is moving, right? But I think we need to be aware that it is a struggle. A lot of pastors I talk to are struggling. A lot of leaders in elderships, leadership teams, deacons, they're struggling. A lot of churches are looking for pastors at the moment, and they're just not there. So there's things we can be praying about. Right, Nathaniel? Nathaniel, sorry, I'm going to do this. Nathaniel's off to India tomorrow, right? Yeah, to go and start help build a church. Yes. Yes. You're alone. We will pray for you, Nathaniel. Pray right now. Father, we just pray right now that you'll be with Jyothi. We pray that you'll bring healing to her. We pray that she will have her strength back in you. We pray for Nathaniel that your peace will be with him, that as he goes to do your work, you will equip him, you will enable him, and you will empower him by your Holy Spirit. Be with him, we pray, and those people over in India that he is doing this with. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We look forward to hearing when you get back, Nathaniel, just to put you on the spot. So the regional hui was really good. It was great to see people. It was great to connect with people. But as I say, there are issues that we need to be aware of, we need to be praying for. And it's no surprise. No, I'm not going to say that anymore. I was going to overstep. When was the last time you were truly desperate for God in your life? Now, I'm not talking about when you needed a car park, a friendly word of encouragement, or something that might seem trivial in our lives. I'm talking about desperation. When you've tried everything and nothing seems to be working. When you're desperate for that phone call, for that result, for that relationship to be healed. When you've come to the end of yourself. That's what we see in our passage today. At the outset, it seems like a fairly straightforward story. Jesus is looking for time alone. He has a habit of doing that. Someone comes to find him, pleads their case. He responds. The person receives what they came to him for. And in this case, what the woman was desperate for her daughter to be healed of the demon that has enslaved her. That's the story in a nutshell. Might as well go home. There is so much more to this story than meets the eye, and Frank has alluded to it today. And we have some uncomfortable moments in it as well. I don't know about you, but when Stephen was reading to us, Jesus refers to the woman as a dog. Did you hear that? How does that fit with your picture of Jesus? She's a dog. Isn't that such a derogative term? We'll get there as we look through the passage. But let me quickly set the scene for us this morning. We're back in our series going through the Gospel of Mark. And if you're savvy enough, you'll realize I've left out some passages on purpose. The last passage I preached on was Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 56. Does anyone know what it was? I'll give you a clue. Walking on the water. Jesus walked on the water. Thanks, Jim. Wow. After this miracle, he arrives at a place called Gennesaret and there heals the multitudes who beg him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who did were healed. That's incredible, right? Just the edge of his cloak. In desperation, they reached out to Jesus and he healed them. Hold on to that thought. So after this, Jesus meets with the Pharisees and other religious teachers and leaders and has a discourse with them about what is clean and what is unclean. And what it comes down to is this. They noticed that some of Jesus' disciples were not washing their hands properly before eating. I'm not joking. This is their big come to Jesus moment. Hey guys, hey Jesus, those guys following you, you need to teach them some bathroom etiquette here. They are not washing their hands properly. Disgraceful. Doesn't that remind you of the COVID days? Moving on, right? Jesus does what Jesus does. He calls them out on their attitudes, on the condition of their hearts. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. They're religious. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." What's he saying to them? He's name-calling them. You know what he's calling them? Hypocrites. Actors. Pretending to be something. Hypocrites. Let that just sink in for a bit. You got it? These are the religious who's who of the day. They are some big hitters. And Jesus looks at them, looks through them, and says, "You missed the boat, folks. It's gone without you. You're so concerned with the behavior of others, you've neglected the attitude within yourselves." This is Jesus. You are living by double standards. The Pharisees and religious leaders heaped unrealistic and ungodly expectations on the people. Expectations that they themselves did not live up to. They were hypocrites. As Matthew writes in his gospel, Jesus says they were so concerned with the speck, just a speck in other people's eyes, that they did not notice the log in their own. How can you not notice the log in your own eye? How? Phil, tell me. I don't know either. A little speck and a big log. What are you talking about, Jesus? Well, friends, I say this in love. We do this today. We are not immune from it. Hypocrisy is alive and well in God's church. Yeah, I said it. It's alive and well in this church. And we need to be on guard against it. Now, you're probably feeling a little bit uncomfortable now, so you can imagine the Pharisees and religious leaders were pretty uncomfortable as well. More and more, as Jesus continues his discourse with them, he calls the crowd and says to them, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." Jesus is leaving no stone unturned here. He is calling the Pharisees and religious leaders, the ones the crowd look up to and hold in such high esteem, he's calling them unclean. Jesus isn't looking to make friends on this particular day. His current friends, the disciples, don't understand, and they ask him to make it clear for them. He says, "Are you so dull?" I love Jesus. "Wake up, boys," in other words. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. Listen to this. What comes out of a man or a woman is what makes him or her unclean. For from within, out of men's and women's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Quite a list. And all these evils come from inside and make a person unclean. Church, we would do well to examine our own hearts and see if any of the things from this list are lingering there. Jesus is quite clear and direct. Some people don't like this Jesus, but he's here in the Bible. And if we follow him, we better heed his words and warning here. So that's all my introduction. You're welcome. And it brings us to the passage today. Let's read it with fresh eyes and in the context of what we've just learned. Now I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And can I please ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word? Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile, born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "Yeah, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." "Good answer," he said. "Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. What you have requested, I have done." When she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please sit. Now, we've encountered demons before in our travel through Mark's gospel. Mark doesn't shy away from these uncomfortable topics. In our Western 21st century eyes, we can read this passage and think, how does this relate to me and to my life today? And my response to that is, incredibly. It incredibly relates to yours and my life and our life as a church today. See, we are this woman. We are the one who didn't get a seat at the table, who have resorted to desperation in approaching Jesus, who realize that we are on the out. From the first book of the Bible, Genesis, God made a people for himself. They are called Israelites. Israel is, not was, is God's chosen people. The nation which is blessed and from which God would bless all other nations. Gentiles are those who are non-Israelites. Like the woman in this story, in Matthew's gospel, we discover that she is a Canaanite woman, one of the enemies of Israel. She is in a desperate state when we find her. Her little girl is demon-possessed. Now, she has likely tried other ways to help her daughter. Nothing has worked. She hears about the miracle worker, the one who has come for the Israelite people, for the Jews. And she thinks to herself, maybe he can help me. I've exhausted all my other options, so maybe he's the one who can give me what I'm truly looking for. The freedom for my little girl. Have you ever had that thought in your life? Maybe he can help me. I have. See, I've needed help when nothing else has worked. When I've exhausted all my options, when I've come to the end of myself. And I'll share my story with you one day, not today. But I got to that point where I said, help me, Jesus. There was a period in my life where my prayer went simply like this. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. See, I realized my sinfulness, how far I was from the person God had called and asked me to be, and repented daily. I need you, Lord. I need you. Perhaps that is the cry of your heart this morning. It was the cry of this woman's heart on behalf of her little girl. She goes looking for Jesus, as Frank said to us earlier. Now, Jesus is in a house, and if you catch what we read earlier, he doesn't want anyone to disturb him. He wants alone time. 20 minutes or so. Just 20 minutes. Perhaps Jesus was introverted, we don't know. But I can relate to him in this moment. When I feel peopled out, I'm like, get me out. I experienced this the past week at the Baptist Hui that I shared about earlier. A big part of the Hui is talking with people, sharing ideas and stories, encouraging one another, praying for each other, as well as listening to some truly remarkable teaching and ideas from the front. I'll just say it, we are so blessed at Carey Baptist College. There are some phenomenal lecturers, and we need to have some of them in this church. Just saying. The Hui started on Thursday morning and it went all day. Then Friday it started at 8 a.m. for breakfast and it was all day. By just after lunchtime on Friday, I was done. I had given out to people. I had listened with my whole being. I had taken it all in and I was done. Like, done. As a dog's dinner bill. Done. So I left the main meeting place, I sent a text to Barbara, going for a walk, and I did. The Hui was right by the beach, so I went to the dairy, brought a Powerade and chocolate bar, because why not, and I started walking down the path to the beach. I didn't put my earphones in, I just walked and enjoyed the space. If I'm honest, the lack of people. I could breathe again. Recenter my scattered senses upon the presence of Jesus. Now, I love people. Kind of comes with the territory for my role here at Milford. But I also love and need my own space. Not to give, just to be. We're human beings. We're not human doings. I don't know who this is for. It's not in my notes. But we are not called to just do and do and do. We need to receive from him and not be continually giving out to others in a posture of stillness, of silence, of being. When I think of Jesus in this moment in the story, this is how I picture him. The compassionate, self-giving Savior needed a rest and some time out. And so he tries to hide away. The Bible says that right away. Man, he doesn't get a let up, does he? Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. So much for that rest, huh, Jesus? But that's not the most telling thing about this sentence. Frank told us earlier, she fell at his feet. Church, she worshipped him then and there. This is the posture of her heart. She was giving her full devotion, her full attention to Jesus. When was the last time you fell at the feet of Jesus? Let's be honest. When was the last time? I'm picking for a lot of us, probably a while ago. Because we get concerned with things that are important, but they're not the most important. The most important thing is our worship of the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, falling at the feet of Jesus, where we find true acceptance, where we find true meaning, where we find love and wholeness. We won't find that anywhere else. The world will tell you you can find it in other places, but we won't. When was the last time you fell at the feet of Jesus? She begs him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Mark then tells us she was a Gentile, and in verse 27, Jesus tells her, "First, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the..." Hold on, Jesus. Let's just back this thing up a bit here. This woman has thrown herself at your feet in a posture of worship. She has told you about her little girl and begged you, absolutely begged you. The text is asking and asking and asking to free her daughter from this demon who has enslaved her for years. And your response is, "Oh, sorry, you're not part of my family. And it's not right to give their food to the dogs." You. This is where knowing the word Jesus is using makes all the difference. There are two words for dogs in the Bible. One relates to the mangy, dirty, undomesticated wild animals, and one relates more to the household pet. It's the second one here that Jesus is referring to. So he's not putting her down. He's simply stating a fact. He has come for his own people, and the Gentiles are outside that immediate family. Jesus has come to teach, disciple, heal, and inspire his own people, the Jewish people. The Gentiles would come later. God would use the apostles Paul and Peter in the book of Acts for the dividing wall between the Jews and Gentiles to come down and all barriers to be broken. But right now, Jesus has come for the lost sheep. He's come for the people of God. He's come for his own. I said earlier that we are this woman. But imagine you are this woman at this moment. You have pleaded your heart out to Jesus, and you're facing rejection. Sorry, you're not part of God's family. Closed door. You have a choice now. You can go home, or you can stay in a posture of worship. Remarkably, this woman chooses to stay. Look at her reply. "That's true, Lord. Yeah, it's true. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps or the crumbs from the children's plates." Friends, this is a declaration of faith. She is putting it all out there. She is laying everything on the line. She is giving her all to Jesus. This is a vulnerable spot to be in. Remember, not only is she a Gentile, She's a woman as well. In those days, women were seen as inferior to men. Thank goodness times have changed, right? This is desperation. When was the last time you were truly desperate for God to move in your life? Jesus responds to her desperate plea. Good answer. Yeah, you aced the test. Well done. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And we read she went home and found her child lying on the bed. Some translations say the couch. And the demon was gone. All is at peace. All is at rest. All is neatly tied up in a nice bow. Because of her desperation, her faith and perseverance, Jesus responded and gave her what she requested. He didn't even have to use words to cast out the demon. He just told her, go home. Demon's gone. Some of you need to hear those words today. It's over. The demon has gone. He's not there anymore. Jesus has defeated our final enemy on the cross once and for all. Some of you are sitting here waiting for a miracle to happen. Some of you need a fresh touch of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your life. We need Jesus in our lives and in this church. We need the miracles that only He can do. We need the healing that Jesus offers. We need Him. I need Him. Like this woman, this Gentile, outcast, desperate woman, we need to fall at His feet. Quite frankly, we need to get over ourselves. Hey, I can see the naughty. We need to give our lives over fully to Him. God has grafted us as Gentiles, non-Jewish people, into His family. And the invitation to us is to come, to seek Him with all our hearts, to fall at His feet in worship, to receive what He has for us. For this woman, it wasn't the bread at the table. It was the crumbs on the floor. And I'm here this morning to ask you a simple question. Who needs the crumbs today? Who needs them? They're available. God, by His Holy Spirit, is here with us. He is inviting us to respond to Him, to come in desperation, to humble ourselves, and to truly seek after Him. I believe there are some in this room who need to move. You need to respond. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to do so. Jesus has the words of life because He is the Word of life. He knows your beginning from your ending. He knows the problems that you are currently facing in your life. He knows what keeps you up at night and what wakes you up early in the morning. And His invitation today is to come, to bring all of you to the cross, the place of surrender. As the team comes to lead us in our final song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Afterwards, I'll invite you, or if you want to come during the song, come to the altar at the front and receive what Jesus has for you. I'll be happy to pray with you. Katarina's going to come up to the front as well. We'd love to pray with you and ask the Holy Spirit to give you what you need today. You have to come. You have to respond. That's how this works with God. But let me pray before we sing together and respond. Jesus, we are this woman. And we need the crumbs under the table. We need You. We need to get over our pride, our ego, ourselves, and humble ourselves like this woman and fall at your feet. Lord, give us the courage to do that. Whether it's today or another day, help us to seek after you and to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Team, would you come and lead us, please?